Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's show. I'm your host, Zach Drew.
And I'm Andrew Bellers.
Transgenderism has taken center stage here in America, and we're going to be going into truly a deep dive into Romans chapter 1 in the second half of today's program to discuss and even explain biblically the reason for the recent explosion of the trans movement over the last few years, because it truly has been just over the last few years. The controversy over transgenderism rose just a few years ago, seemingly out of nowhere. But when it did arise, it erupted like a cultural Mount St. Helens. I think that's a powerful quote. You know, who was even talking about this 10 or 15 years ago? What in the world has happened? And it's understand this. It's not just the trans movement. I mean, seriously, if you can remember just 10 years ago, nobody was talking about critical race theory or social justice warriors. Or, I mean, even 5 years ago, if you would have told me that the pronoun issue of referring to people as they and them and she and this and that, rather than just your regular pronouns, I would have said, man, I think that could be something like that could be coming, but not in the next 5 years. And who would have thought that that's where we would be? Or even the dozens, you know, and different reports will say, you know, there might be over 70, now there's over 100, now it's even infinite genders. What's happened? I mean, think about what's happened in our country in just those last few years. There is a revolution taking place. And for those that don't understand it, have short-term memory or they're hiding under a rock. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, none of these things were in the average American's vocabulary. We'd never even heard of these type of things. They existed, but in the inner circles of the academic world,
right,
of, you know, working alongside those certain politicians. I mean, there was a game plan. We can actually date back some of this to the 1950s and others to the 1980s and early 1990s whenever we're dealing with the implementation of cultural Marxism. But it's exploding now. And, you know, I'm not just here to say, like, oh, thanks, Obama. You know, just blame everything on Obama. But it did explode. Because I was not a fan of Obama by any means. I mean, oh my gosh.
But that was a turning point.
But that was. I mean, I remember, you know, so I was born in the late 1900s, which is a funny way of, which is a funny way of saying I was born in 1990. The late 1900s.
That's, you know, yeah. We're
living, you know, to like the Gen Zs, you're like, oh yeah, you're an old boomer born in the late 1900s. I was, 1990. And the thing is this, I remember growing up and, you know, being 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, you know, up until I was about 20 years old, racism was never an issue. Racism was becoming a thing of the past. I mean, it truly was. But Obama changed that for us. He reignited the race wars. And so much has changed since then. And that's, you can date back to 2010, really, whenever the new movement of the explosion of the trans movement, the awakening of the general public began to accelerate when the Obama administration issued instructions to U.S. schools that Title IX applied to trans girls, requiring schools to allow biological boys to play on girls' teams and use girls' facilities. While the Trump administration later rescinded those rules, the schools already were full speed ahead implementing the Obama administration's plan. And the Biden administration is accelerating the agenda even faster. The Biden administration is fully behind trans-affirming care and has declared it, quote, settled science. Now, trans-affirming care, that's I'm referring to puberty blockers for little kids, hormone therapy, and surgery, which is a kind word for genital mutilation. And a recent survey showed that since 2006, but mostly 2010 and beyond, there has been a 4,000 5% increase in youths seeking transgender treatment. What? You know, you think about the sexual revolution. You think about, you know, the homosexual revolution. You think about, we are in the midst of a massive cultural change. That in the past 13 years primarily, there's been a 4,000% increase in kids seeking treatment, wanting to literally mutilate themselves for the entirety of their lives. And the thing is, and the left-wing media, they would have you and I believe that if we are against the sexual exploitation of children, then there is something wrong with us. Romans chapter 1 deals with all of this. And we're going to get to that. There's something wrong with us. But that's just not the case. Most of Americans are not okay with it. But you wouldn't know that because of the power of media. Here's a recent poll. Last month, Summit Ministries of Manitou Springs, Colorado, released the results of a poll it commissioned. McLaughlin and Associates conducted the poll of 1,000 likely voters from all over the country. Well, polls don't mean anything, right? Well, listen to how they conducted it. It was a stratified random sample that covered all ages, parties, races, voting behavior, sex, ideology, education, population density, and region of the country. One of the questions that was asked was, what is your reaction to efforts to expose children to the transgender movement using things like drag shows, school curriculum, and social media? To my surprise, of the 92% that answered the question, 71% of the participants were concerned, while 29% were not upset or concerned. Of the 71% that were concerned, 41% described themselves as very concerned or angry. The other question that was asked was, do you believe the pharmaceutical companies and doctors who promote puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for underage children seeking gender transition should be legally liable for any harmful side effects that arise? There were 826 of the 1,000 participants that answered. So that's 83% of the 1,000 answered. Of those, once again, 71% said yes, while 29% said no. But if you're just simply watching the nightly news, if you're just surfing the net, if you're just reading articles, you wouldn't be led to believe that in any way, shape, or form, that we are the radical minority. And even if you don't identify as an L, a B, a T, or a G, or a T, or all those other, if you don't identify as that, you're still a bigot and you are in the minority if you do not affirm it. Yeah. So I'm not saying like we're in the minority because we're not one of those letters. I'm saying they would have you believe it if you simply just do not affirm it. And you're not. And this is just one example of a poll that would suggest that. There is a cultural takeover of America. And I'm going to say this probably more than once during the show. I believe, according to Romans chapter 1, that God does not send judgment because of a sexual revolution or because of a homosexual revolution or because of a transgender revolution. He does not send judgment because of that. Rather, those are symptoms of judgment. Does that make sense? They're symptoms. They're not the cause. The cause is forsaking God and worshiping other gods other than Him whenever you had previously known God. That is what causes judgment. These revolutions are a symptom, a sign. Yeah. Of what initially caused it.
Well, you even look at the Sodom and Gomorrah, and you'll see the gay community has there are some people in the gay community who call themselves Christians who have kind of leaped on the Sodom and Gomorrah thing, where scripture actually says that God's judgment came against them because of their pride. And they'll say, oh, well, it was because of their pride. It wasn't because of homosexuality. God is okay with that. No, it's not. It was because of their pride. And the sexual depravity came as a result of God removing himself because of their sin. It was God's judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really hope this is accurate. Whatever Bud Light decides to do, it's going to kind of set the template for what to do and not to do. Because there are videos of the homosexual community online even ripping the trans community apart. They are. Because there's a lot of people in the gay community that are against the trans community because of the singular issue of don't go after the kids, don't indoctrinate the kids, and there's even a divide amongst themselves. And so whatever Bud Light does right now with, you know, you saw the what was his name, Dylan Mulvaney, the celebration of, so he was a man and he transitioned to a woman.
Well, he is a man.
I know. I always get confused. So if they say trans man, I'm always like, so does that mean you were a man or you, or I can't, it's always backwards in my brain.
It's
confusing. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, I wish they would just tell me like, so what do you have under your britches? Because that would just make it a lot easier
right.
for me, you know.
Basic biology.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, I hope that, you know, once you go woke, you go broke. You know, you've heard this. I hope that takes place. And I've read, I saw online, I thought it was very clever that whoever handles, you know, the branding and the media of Bud Light, they literally have thrown dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of millions of dollars over the year just solidifying that brand. Because whenever, you know, even as a child, I remember just watching, you know, the Super Bowl commercials and Budweiser, and, you know, you think the big Clydesdales and right. and the man's beer. Yeah. And then you have a man-woman on the can. And it shows, there's an article here, video of Bud Light untouched in store goes viral amid Dylan Mulvaney drama. And in the article, it even talks about how, you know, it showed that there was a lot of beer missing that isn't traditionally missing from the shelves. And they said that since that can came out, that particular place, the clerk said, we have not sold a single can or bottle mm-hmm. of Bud Light since.
Yeah.
They threw out hundreds of millions of dollars of marketing in just one fell swoop. And when you go woke, you go broke.
I don't know if you saw that they actually released another commercial, Budweiser, not Bud Light, but under Budweiser. And it was the old, you know, good old American truck and horses. They said, we got to do some damage control here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I want to tell you, I think you'll find this interesting. I want to talk to you about the actual historical genesis of the term gender identity. It all started with a name, John Money. So John Money, he founded the Gender Identity Clinic at Johns Hopkins University. And he started an extensive research program on the psychohormonal treatment of paraphilias, which is just it's kind of like a perversion and a sexual perversion. And sex reassignment as well. So he formulated, he defined, and he coined the term gender role, and later expanded it to gender identity. So in the 1950s, John Money theorized that our gender identity could be different than our biological sex, and that it was independent and fluid. It remained a theory until he was given the opportunity to test it out on the Reimer twins. So the story was one twin, Bruce, had his male genitalia catastrophically damaged by a horribly botched circumcision as an infant. But the parents ended up refusing a circumcision actually for the other twin. It's an awful situation. But sometime later, the parents reached out to Dr. John Money, a psychologist from Johns Hopkins University, who had, like I said, had been put forward the theory that any child born a boy could be raised as a girl or vice versa. Nurture, not nature, determined a child's gender identity. So he convinced the parents that Bruce could have a normal life as a girl. Dr. John Money enthusiastically took on the case and treated the boys for several years. He began writing articles about the case, underscoring how well the children were doing, pointing out that Bruce, being raised as a girl, had taken to her identity very well. You know, just two thumbs up. Things are awesome, right? The success of this experiment received international attention, but the real story was that the experiment was an actual utter failure. You can read about the case in a book by John, Carlo Pinto. The book was called As Nature Made Him. But the bottom line is, instead of proving gender identity was real, it proved the exact opposite. Money never acknowledged the failure and continued to pretend gender identity was real. And one of those twins died of a drug overdose, and Bruce ultimately committed suicide. I would say that that was a failure, and spectacularly so. But despite this failure being made public in the year 2000, the psychological community has completely ignored it. Big surprise. The idea that the theory of gender identity was real took on an entire life of its own and continued to gain, you know, adherence even with no evidence to support it, and with two dead boys from the study that was used to confirm the theory. Because, you know, who needs evidence, right? That is literally the genesis, the start of this whole fluid gender identity movement. But here's another interesting thing. My goodness, we're 18 minutes in. Could Marxism also somehow play a role in this? I want to read to you. This is this is a gay woman married to a transgender man, and she was actually a whistleblower. What she said here is highly valuable information. I couldn't believe I found this information. I honestly couldn't. So let me read you this story. It's incredibly telling, and she's a whistleblower. So popular bloggers Constantine Kissin and Francis Foster recently hosted Jamie Reed on their podcast. Reed is the whistleblower who exposed the destructive transgender care practices at Washington University Transgender Clinic in St. Louis, Missouri. The clinic currently is under criminal investigation by the Missouri Attorney General. Reed is a gay woman who was married to a transgender man and worked in the clinic managing the care for the clinic's patients for the last several years. Initially, it was expected the clinic was going to care for 50 or so patients a year, but 50 turned into hundreds, and then hundreds turned into thousands. Remember how there was been a 4,000% increase in youth wanting to have gender reassignment surgeries in just the past 10, 15 years? So Kissin asked Reed how she explained this explosion of trans-identifying children. While Reed's observations cannot be generalized to other populations, she has come to a few conclusions based on the thousands she saw. Her view was interesting, to say the least. Cultural Marxism. Here it is. She observed that white children in the U.S. are indoctrinated to believe they are privileged, and because of that, they are seen as oppressors. Many are desperate to escape that label because they are white. It is difficult for them to claim a different race or ethnicity or ethnic identity. They can't claim poverty when their family is affluent, and they find it too difficult to identify as gay or lesbian. It is easier for them to claim to be non-binary or trans. Trans seems to be the path of least resistance to become a member of an oppressed group, freeing them from the condemnation as an oppressor. She didn't explain what accounts for other racial or ethnic groups who identify as trans, other than to say that most of the upsurge, she believes, is fueled by social media. These children are encouraged to join the oppressed class. She said if you took most of these kids to a farm in Montana and took away their phones, it would be better for them than the treatment they receive in gender clinics. The idea they were trans would most likely vanish. Vanish. Unbelievable. Everything we have discussed on this show today is a sign and a symptom of God's judgment on a nation, according to Romans chapter 1. Once again, this is exactly what happens when a people abandon God. Symptoms, not the cause of God's judgment. And I'm going to explain that to you. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be playing a John MacArthur clip because he had a sermon talking about this, and I've actually taken some notes from it. We're going to be playing a clip from it at the very end. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23 says this, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." This is something that is not a prophetic scripture of what's to come. This happened. This is the template of what had already happened. So they began openly rejecting God. That's what took place. And they started worshiping anything other than the one true God, even though, as verse 21 says, they knew God. There are three phases or signs of God's judgment on a people that can be found in Romans chapter 1. And we have entered the third final stage. Phase 1 can be found in the next two verses. We're going to keep going after that. "Therefore God gave them up in their lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creative rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." You cannot even get to stage 2 and to stage 3 without first there being a sexual revolution. Once again, "Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves." A sexual revolution. Phase 2, the next two verses. "For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions." Phase 2 is the homosexual revolution. "For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with men and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error." The sexual revolution and then the homosexual revolution. And why, once again, is God sending His judgment? Because, verse 28, "they did not see fit to acknowledge God." And phase 3, this is where things like transgenderism and pedophilia take place. Once again, verse 28, God gave them, we're going to continue verse 28, that started out by saying this, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done." First, there is a sexual revolution. Then it's followed by a homosexual revolution. And then God allows them to have a debased mind, where the word there can sometimes be referred to as reprobate mind. It is a mind that no longer is able to identify right and wrong. There is no more base or standard. This is God's judgment. Here is a Here is Pastor John MacArthur connecting Romans 1:28 to transgenderism.
God gave them over to a depraved mind. A depraved mind is a mind that doesn't function. Sometimes it's translated a reprobate mind. But the Greek word means non-functioning. That's when you're a man and you think you're a woman. It's a kind of insanity. And it's an insanity that is such an insanity, it begs the issue of reason to even think people would do this. The reason people are doing it is because they are under divine judgment. God has let them have a reprobate mind. So when you see all of this transgender activity, and when you see them want to make laws to protect transgender identity, and you know it is absolute and total and utter insanity, you know we've reached the reprobate mind. People can't think reasonably, which means there's no way back to sanity. There's no way back. This nation was really founded with the knowledge of the Word of God, the Bible. It's had it in its entire 200 plus years. They know the ordinance of God. They also know that in the ordinance of God, those who practice such things are worthy of death, but they not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. You have a president who is a Roman Catholic and who is advocating the insanity at the third level of divine judgment as if this is normal.
This is God's judgment.
Yeah. If you look... You've probably looked at the headlines and looked at the news lately and thought, you know, heard or said this this phrase, you know, seems like the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Or you'll think, wow, it seems like the world's really going crazy.
It is going crazy.
I mean, people are really losing their minds. What the scripture here is saying is that that is exactly what is happening. The world is literally going crazy. People are literally losing their minds. Yeah. And it is absolutely a result of God removing himself, which is a type of judgment from God on our society. I mean, you've heard, we didn't have time to get into on the show, but there was a video released this week of Project Veritas where they had undercover footage of doctors saying that 10-year-old kids, that they're prescribing them puberty blockers, which if you don't know, it's the same kind of medication that they give to rapists for chemical castration. And they're giving these medicines to children. 14, at the age of 14, giving them cross-gender hormones. How can people give chemical castration pills to children and think that that's okay? It's because they have a debased mind. And it is a result of God's judgment. I mean, how can they perform irreversible mastectomies on little girls, sometimes as young as 13 years old, is because they have a debased mind because of God's judgment.
You know, and that's even how, you know, there was an article, how can trans adults expose themselves to children, like literally they're naked in front of them, because of a debased mind, which is a sign of God's judgment.
Yeah, this happened on live TV. Trans adults strip naked in front of kids on public TV to normalize sex change surgeries. And that's becoming normalized and okay because the world's going crazy and it's a sign of God's judgment.
It is. And that's how, you know, how can the, look at this article, new UN, United Nations, like basically the most powerful governing body in the world, backed legal recommendations to normalize sex with minors, to normalize pedophilia. How can this happen? From a debased mind. A shocking report issued by international legal experts with the backing of the United Nations appears to open the floodgates to normalize sex with minors. Sexual conduct involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent to sex may be consensual, in fact, if not in law, the Geneva-based International Commission of Jurists wrote in March. It states that children have both the capacity and the legal right to make those sexual decisions. We are living in a time of judgment, of revolution. There, this is the time of, you know, Rabbi Kahn used to say that this period of time that we're living in as Americans, and really the world, it's the time he referred to as the abolition of gray, the destruction of gray, where gray is no longer an option. It is one side or the other. Things are becoming very black and white. It is a time to draw the line in the sand, unwilling to compromise. You cannot compromise. And that does not mean being hateful and mean and this and that. No, it just simply means your values. No, you're going to speak up for what's truth. And sometimes simply speaking the truth in love, they will say is hateful, but their definition of hateful is different than mine. You know, I'm not going to go and spit on them in their faces. And this, I mean, it's different between hateful and preaching the word of God. And here's the thing, that in itself can get you canceled. There was a judge in here in Oklahoma, here in flyover country. We're in Illinois, Oklahoma. Oklahoma judge threatens Christian preacher with arrest for using Bible verses in an online protest. So the court ruled that he is banned from all things social media. I've never even heard of this. For 5 months. Because he was defending his beliefs and using scripture. And he was banned from literally what makes the world go round, the communication source of the world being the internet. He was banned from it. He was silenced. He was canceled. Ostracized, marginalized, because he used scriptures. People, it is time to get in your word. It is time to draw close to God. We are in the end of times. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Get into your word. You know, we do this show and the content we talk about because we understand, even from Jesus, we're talking to the religious leaders of the time, that it is important to understand the times in which we live. These illustrate those times perfectly. But what that means is that the Bible is real. It's accurate. It's alive. Get into your word and do it on a daily basis. Feed that spirit man within you. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.